right, kind of, it's time for a mental health block, if you will, a couple segments put together talking about mental health as it is World Mental Health Day. Want to welcome in the director of the Eye Care Prevention Program, Aaron Bradford, and Dr. Bridget Webster, director of Mental Health Services. Welcome. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning. Good. How are you, Brian?
Doing very well. All right, World Mental Health Day. Let's talk a little bit about it. Tell us why you're here.
So we're here to talk about World Mental Health Day. It is tomorrow, October 10th.
Mm-hmm.
It started in 1992, and the whole purpose is to make people aware that mental health matters. So we're excited to be a part of sharing that word.
Okay. So isn't like a whole week, though? Like, I know the concentration's on the day, but I just like when mental health starts getting more attention.
Absolutely.
Because as much attention as we do pay to it, we're still nowhere. There's miles and miles that we can go. All right, so let's talk about what Mental Health Day actually is. What is it?
So it's a day to recognize that mental health matters. It's a day to talk about how social, emotional, psychological all go into helping a person to be the healthiest they can be mm-hmm. mentally. And it's a challenge sometimes, especially with social media, with our kids. It's a challenge.
Well, and let's talk about this because Eye Care is in the schools. And so your interaction is with kids on a day-to-day basis. So let's talk about that impact that mental health has on academics and that overall social journey that kids are on.
Yeah, I think that we are always aware. We're trying to bring awareness mm-hmm. to mental health. We are really like interventionists. Bridget's department is really the group of people that go in and actually serve
work with
students.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we act as just interventionists for those students that need help.
Let's get a little bit deeper into this. So what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? What does being an interventionist look like?
So we work in tiers 1, 2, and 3. Eye Care primarily does tier 1 that talks about prevention, and they do a lot of great work. They have campaigns every month. And then there's what we call tier 2. Our school counselors provide tier 2 intervention, which is small groups for those individuals who are having a hard time just understanding what prevention is. Mm-hmm. And then finally, tier 3 is what my department does, and we do the individual one-on-one. We get assessments done through consent from the parent or guardian, and then we go in and make a determination as to what is really happening with that student. You ever heard of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual?
No.
It is, we call it the DSM-5.
Okay.
And we use that to look and see what additional concerns are happening for that student. And if there is a DSM-5 diagnosis, then we make that diagnosis, and then we can develop a treatment plan to address the concerns of that student.
So we're frontline.
Right.
Defense.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Because at a certain point, you do have to hand off. I mean, there is.
Yes. And we work in partnership.
We work well together.
Uh-huh.
Very good. So we're talking mental health with Aaron Bradford, the director of Eye Care's Prevention Program, and Dr. Bridget Webster, director of Mental Health Services. So you mentioned the word prevention. We got to go there. What are we preventing?
Well, I think one of the things is just recognizing students that are maybe in crisis. We know that trauma is real, mm-hmm. and it can bring on mental health concerns. So just preventing a student from going into a true crisis where they need additional support.
Let's talk a little bit about how critical it is to have resources at your fingertips, to have human resources in the schools to identify and help address some of those mental health issues that we were just talking about a moment ago that children are dealing with each day.
I'm really glad you asked that question because in Louisiana and around the country, there is a shortage of mm-hmm. clinical providers.
Mm-hmm.
And so our district has worked really hard to try to change that narrative. Dr. Cito Narcisse is our superintendent, and he was the one who initiated developing a department to address those mental health concerns. And so first and primarily, our school counselor is the point of contact for our students.
Mm-hmm.
And then the student will get the referral to, well, the parent will give consent for us to get the referral. And what we found is that traditionally there's about 3 to 5% of students who will need that intensive support.
Okay.
And so again, the school counselor is that point of contact. Because there are so few of us, we can't be at all those sites at the same time.
Walk me through a little bit about what it looks like in real life. What is it, the more common problems that are brought up, the more common things that are seen within the kids that raise things up to a level of needing y'all's attention?
I think, you know, really looking at social media, mm-hmm. and I think you get a lot of anxiety, sad, depressed students. And I think somebody recognizing that, a teacher, a counselor, mm-hmm. and then they're referred to the counselor. And the counselor sometimes refers them to the eye care specialist, mm-hmm. who then passes it off.
Right.
Sort of like, it's sort of like a wraparound at a school site. So
right.
we're all kind of just eyes open. We mm-hmm. all know red flags. We're all watching to see what students need our help. And then we refer those students to the proper people.
Mm-hmm. So as a father of three, I've got one that didn't have social media until after eighth grade, one who's inching that way in sixth grade, and then another one who we're yet to have to take on the battle. But this is kind of even a new world for me. It's like social media wasn't a thing when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And what I'm learning about it is it doesn't have an off time. Like it doesn't close.
No.
And this is where it is so much different. Like bullying when I was growing up, mm-hmm. like once you got off the bus and got home, you were done. You were done till the next day.
Exactly.
But with social media, ding, 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 alert, alert, alert. Like this is stuff that we didn't have to deal with.
We didn't. And I'm glad you said that, because I think about how, for me, when we went to sleep, the TV went off mm-hmm. at midnight and it came back on at 6. Our kids.
You're really dating yourself now.
I am.
You had the national anthem with the picture of the flag,
national
and it was
anthem.
Done for the night. Absolutely.
That's right. And so you're right. Our kids are exposed 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the ability to mask who you are.
Right.
You can get a fake IP address and do all kinds of damage, and nobody knows who that person is.
Right.
And so it's a very frustrating time for our kids who don't know how to
turn it off.
But also, they're afraid to tell their parents.
Right. And that's the second part of it, because even within that safe haven of the home, the worry is that, you know, you're not going to kick things up to the parents because they're going to make things worse. And anybody who's being bullied knows that if you tattle on the bully's going to make it worse for you.
Absolutely.
So how do we approach that? How do we fight it?
So again, prevention is one thing. Aaron's department does a great job of talking about those areas, the substance abuse, the violence prevention, all of the preventive items. They do a great job at conducting those campaigns every month. Suicide awareness, prevention, depression. They do a great job on the prevention side. And that's probably about 80% of our population. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say, Aaron? Mm-hmm.
I would say, and I think that's, like Bridget's saying, it brings awareness. Mm-hmm. It at least lets a student know, A, okay, something is not right. Okay, what she said, I feel
right.
that. I feel those
right.
signs. I feel those symptoms. Something isn't right. And then hopefully we give that student a safe space to access the resources that we have at their
right.
fingertips.
This is also kind of vary based off of age. I mean, y'all are tasked with, you know, everything from middle up to high school. What's the youngest that we start looking at this? And obviously it would take all the way through the end of high school, but what's the youngest we start dialing in?
I'll be honest with you. It's K.
Really?
Yes, kindergarten. I was going to say the same thing.
Okay.
For sure.
It's so unfortunate. And what we found, not just in our department, but studies show that there are some primary areas that kids address, and that's anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, ADHD, and then a mood disorder. And so those things are, we see the same reasons for referrals mm-hmm. that are mentioned. Believe it or not, we get a lot of referrals for students who are self-injuring. They're cutting. We get a lot of referrals for suicide ideation.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's a limit as to what we can do in the school system. And so we have to refer or give that parent resources to get that additional suicide assessment.
And then, early intervention is key.
Absolutely.
So it's good sometimes that we were able to intervene at a kindergarten level, because mm-hmm. the trajectory for that young person is always better.
We've talked about the peer-to-peer stuff and the social media would be included in that peer-to-peer stuff. What we've not talked about yet is how y'all react when the problem starts at home and carries itself over in the school? Because I would imagine you would still see a lot of the same traits, symptoms, things, you know, red flags, if you will, from kids. But that's got to be a tougher nut to crack when it starts at home.
It is a tough nut to crack. Unfortunately, we're not able to do family therapy. We can provide resources for that family, wraparound services. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, when school ends, our day kind of ends, but we still are aware that things happen at home.
Right.
And we're hoping that families are able to grasp for those additional resources to get the family support.
Outside of peer-to-peer and then the things that come from home, are there other, you know, contributing factors to, you know, potential mental health, I don't want to say problems, but things you can be on the lookout for?
Well, researchers show they can't really identify exactly why mental health happens. But what they have found is that there is some genetic predisposition.
Really?
Substance abuse sometimes will have an effect. We know that if a person is self-medicating, you know, that's not always a good thing. Actually, I don't think it's ever a good thing. So, but yeah, so researchers don't really know why mental health issues happen. And so we're still searching.
I think also trauma. We know that trauma can trigger mental
PTSD,
health concerns.
Yeah. Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, trauma is.
And then you have things like a global pandemic that factor into this. Now, kindergarten probably not that much affected, but
They
were affected.
I'll tell you, and this is what happened. This is what we noticed. If a kid was in kindergarten when the pandemic happened,
right,
they missed those developmental, social, emotional interactions.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean kids that are in kindergarten today.
Today.
Right. They don't know what it's like to miss a semester or more of school because of
this.
Yeah.
They don't have that point of reference. Mm-hmm. But you do have an entire, like, let's say, third grade all the way through senior year who somewhere along the way had to go through the lockdowns.
Some crazy stuff.
But those kindergartners have siblings, too. Some of them have siblings, parents who had a rough time during COVID, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Secondary trauma is real, too.
Last thing we get out before we get out of here, and Aaron Bradford and Dr. Bridget Webster, thank you all so much for your time this morning. What should parents be on the lookout for?
So if there's a change in mood, a change in how they typically respond, a change in family interactions, a change in their peer interactions, there's a reason for that. Look at appetite changes, sleep changes, moodiness, a difference in how they typically would be. Look for those things. And then talk to them.
Yeah.
Talk to them. Talk to the school counselor. Talk to the teachers. And then they will, in turn, make the referrals to us. And we'll get in there and we'll do the screenings and the assessments to find out what is really going on.
Tomorrow is World Mental Health Day, and I'm glad y'all came in to talk about this a little bit because, yes, it does go into the schools, and, yes, it does get down to the kiddos. Aaron Bradford, Dr. Bridget Webster, thank y'all so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.